Good morning, and once again, welcome. I'm glad you've been able to join us for this time of worship this morning. Some well-known words in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. We're going to refer to those words again after our hymn, which is, through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. And now we join in prayer. Loving Lord, life is full of changes of all kind. And through all the changing scenes of life, we know that we all too seldom find time to pause and to be still and to know that you are God. And so in this moment, now, we pause. We are quiet. We ask that your Spirit will work within us to quieten our spirits and to create within us an awareness that you are God. May the noises and the demands that life makes upon us, may those fade. Give us quietness within. And then, Lord, in your mercy, forgive. Forgive that we, despite the fact that you are our God, our Creator, the lover of our souls, our teacher, our guide, despite all of that, we still allow the noise and the demands of our lives to drown out your voice, to distract us so that we do not recognize your guidance, to prevent us from knowing and experiencing your love. Forgive us, Lord, that we are so preoccupied with ourselves that we are unable to recognize you. But in these moments now, Lord, we pray that you will give us the eyes and the ears to see and hear you during this time of worship. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Two scripture readings. The first from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, and reading from verse 11. As the writer says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And then in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15, and reading from the first verse, where Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And we thank God for that reading of his word. I think I've told this story before, but it was probably 10 years or more ago, so you won't remember it anyway. And in any event, it fits where I want to go now. So here it is again. There was a time in my ministry when I was appointed as the general secretary of what was then called the Christian Education Department, focusing on adult Christian education and growth. And it was in that capacity that I once visited Mozambique, traveling with a local colleague to a society that was somewhere in the bush. We passed a small clearing in the middle of which was a largish tree. And he pointed to that tree and he said, that's a pagan tree. and my mind went into overdrive. Pagan tree? What did he mean? Were some pagan rituals carried out there? Had something bad and ugly happened there? Did some nasty people meet there? And so I asked him, why a pagan tree? Well, he said, I've been passing this tree on my way to this church for the last 7 years, and in all that time, this tree has not grown at all. I like that. Because what he was saying in picturesque language was that to be a Christian implies growth. Christians grow. Not necessarily physically, although I guess some of us do tend to do that a little bit as well, but grow in faith, grow in grace, grow in understanding. In whatever way it happens, Christian people grow. So if that tree hadn't grown, well, it couldn't be a Christian tree, it must be a pagan tree. The need for growth is a recurring theme in the New Testament. You'll remember that Jesus told a parable about seeds that fell into different kinds of soil. Some of them couldn't grow because of that. But the ones that did fall into good soil and grew and produced a harvest were the ones that received a warm commendation from Jesus. And then that gospel reading in John chapter 15 has Jesus saying, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." But you can't produce fruit unless there's growth. Did you ever in your childhood plant a seed and then rush out the next morning to see how much it had grown? I can remember planting carrot seeds and being thoroughly disillusioned when a whole month after I'd planted them, there was nothing more than a few spindly thin little tufts of greenery. And when they were eventually about 6 inches tall, of course I had to pull them up to see how big the carrots were, and of course there was nothing more than just a kind of thin, spindly white root. By the time the carrots were anything actually worth seeing, I'd completely lost interest. But the point is simply this, that before there can be fruit, there needs to be growth. And that principle applies in the spiritual realm as much as in the botanical realm. The same truth is implied when Paul talks in his letter to the Galatians about the fruits of the Spirit. Do you remember them? Can you name them? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. 9 of them. These fruits are the product of growth as the Holy Spirit is allowed to do his work within us, shaping us, molding us, making us more like Jesus. But it's a process. It's a process of growth. It doesn't just happen overnight. In another place, Paul talks about the need for Christian people to be weaned off the milk of the gospel and to move on to solid food. We are not supposed to be Christian babies forever. I fear that there are far too many adult Christian people who have matured into adulthood physically, mentally, but remain with some very naive and immature ideas about God and about the Bible. And I fear that without growth in that area, in that dimension, they will find that their faith is not really adequate to deal with some of the complexities of the real world. And then, of course, there's that passage that we read a little earlier from the letter to the Ephesians. We become mature, says the writer. We attain to the full measure of the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We are no longer infants. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So the constant New Testament call is a call to growth. As my Mozambican colleague said, to be Christian is to grow. I don't know whether you've ever taken the time to look closely at a plant as it grows. One of the manses in which we have lived had a rose bed right outside my study window. And sometimes when I got bored with my own sermon preparation, I know that didn't all go well for the congregation on Sunday, but when that did happen, I would look out the window, and over a period of time, I could see the rose shoot, the stem growing up, pausing to set leaves, and then reaching out again. And I became fascinated by that point of growth, that growing edge from where the shoot pushed ever upwards until it set and made the bud for the flower. Break off that growing edge and the shoot died back and couldn't produce the bud. The bud, the flower, had to be preceded by a living, growing edge. And that's really the sermon for this morning. Because it's no different when it comes to spiritual growth or to what we are at the moment in this church calling deep reach. In other words, we're talking about growing into a deeper relationship with God, growing into deeper knowledge and understanding, or a deeper experience of some devotional discipline, or gaining or enhancing some skill that may make us more useful to God, or engaging in some new form of service, perhaps reading some quality Christian literature to try and improve our understanding of Scripture and to improve the way that we think about God, or maybe undertaking some change of attitude or prejudice, growing in character, working on one or other of those fruits of the Spirit that Paul spoke about in his letter to the Galatians. Or perhaps there's a call to some kind of deeper commitment in terms of time or money for the cause of the kingdom of God. Or maybe there's a call to put something right that isn't right, to seek or offer forgiveness, to seek reconciliation. Or maybe to make some venture in reaching out to people in need. Maybe to engage in a shared exercise with people from other churches. Or if none of this more physical thing is possible for us, to back up and support those in other ministries with regular and consistent prayer. In other words, I'm talking about some sort of growing edge for each of us and the various reaches that we have adopted in this congregation are all potential points of growth, deep reach, in reach, outreach, ecureach. You're going to hear more about all of them in due course. Look for the opportunities that they offer you for growth. Find something that is your growing edge. You know, this centenary year has been important for us. But now, as you know, we are focusing on what lies ahead. That's what's important now. And it's important for us as a church. But it's just as important for us as individuals. This emphasis now on looking ahead creates for us the perfect opportunity to assess where we are, not only as a church, but as individuals as well. It asks the question of each of us, is this for me? Never mind for the church, but is it for me a critical moment of choice? Ross spoke a couple of weeks ago about decisions and choices. So I'm asking now, is this a moment when you will make a choice, when it's your turn, it's your time to grow up some more, to grow a little more in 2024? I guess perhaps the question really is whether we actually want to grow. Perhaps we're content to be where we are and we couldn't be bothered to make any further effort to take growing up in some further way too seriously. We'll leave that challenge to grow. We'll leave that to other people. But I want to remind you that there is that niggling New Testament call to grow up, to reach towards maturity. And that New Testament call is not going to go away. It's going to be there until our dying day, quite literally. Perhaps it's time to accept the challenge and to take seriously some step, not a whole bunch of steps, that can be too intimidating, just one thing, one growing edge, some step towards growth. And I know from my own experience that to have an identifiable growing edge really helps. So is it time to grow up? To go a little deeper, please look out for the opportunities that the church will offer you, but please don't stop there. Sometimes the most important growth can occur when we simply accept for ourselves some personal, private challenge, and then we let that become our own growing edge. Join me in prayer. Loving Lord, thank you for always calling us onto newness, something new. We know that you do not want this Christian life to which you've called us to become stale and boring. So save us from being willing to accept second best, willing to accept mediocrity. Stir us up. Challenge us again to grow, to produce fruit for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. And so to our closing hymn, which is a hymn that reminds us of the call of God constantly on our lives. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea.
By day, his sweet voice sounds.
Right, now go in peace and know that the God of peace, the God who is going to challenge you, but the God of peace will be going with you into this day and the days that lie ahead. Amen.